Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go.
You know we're talking about the power!
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It is Easter, and it's all about that boom. Depending on if you take the number two after Easter dinner, or you look at one of the bunnies matches. This is the best of that. Bob Rogers inviting everyone.
Oh, I'm going to be myself now.
This is the Master Man Bob Rogers welcoming you to the FTW Future Focus. I am your host, the Master Man Bob Rogers. With me today, we have a special guest. He is out of Indianapolis, Indiana. He is all over wrestling. He loves professional wrestling. Because Marcus couldn't be here, he's out eating some ham somewhere. Lucky dog.
Right?
I'm having pizza. I don't care about this ham. But the man is a very knowledgeable, I can't even talk, but knowledgeable when it comes to the wrestling field. I'm going to get it out. I'm going to really get it out today, boy. Oh, yeah. It's an honor to have him on. I love to hear his opinion. The conversation piece. Chris Woods. Mr. Woods, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great today, and thanks, guys, for including me.
You're very welcome.
I just caught that. You ain't right, Rob.
Don't be doing that stuff to me, guys.
Speaking of, he's out of poop. He's out of Bloomfield, Indiana. Oh, this man has been on IWTV, Fight TV, all type of different TVs we can't speak of because they're illegal in 50 states. They're mostly with Asian women. They're not so humble, boy. You're not so humble, correspondent Robert Black. Rob, what's up?
Hey, happy Easter, and it's good to be here. Let's get it going.
We're only two minutes in.
Oh, yeah. I had more to say to that, but I'm just going to leave it there. In addition, by way of Chicago, Illinois, he is out of Indianapolis, Indiana. He is the president of the Motown Wrestling Group on Facebook, if you have not joined yet. I don't know what's wrong with your finger. Quit playing PlayStation for about 5 minutes. Join up with the group. He is Tony Motown Allen. Tony, what's up?
What's going on? And today, literally, from Chicago to Indianapolis, I have just literally pulled in after seeing my mom. So it's definitely worth it, though.
Yes. I should have went to Chicago this weekend, but I didn't. I should have went to see my dad, but I didn't. And I feel kind of bad about that.
I got to see my mom, though. She's going through some stuff right now, though. So I definitely had to get there to see her, make sure everything's good with her. Always great seeing her, though. So, but, yeah, I mean, yeah, the job is not bad, though. So you definitely, you need to go see your dad soon.
Yeah, that's a different story altogether. But ladies and gentlemen, we are gathered here today to speak about the great sport of professional wrestling. And all of my brothers here, I just got to ask y'all one question, because I'm just going to kick it off raw today. What the heck is up with Adam Page, man? I mean, I was excited he got the title, but I'm sorry. I am very disappointed in Adam Page's run right now. This is
Can we talk about triggers that triggered his downfall, though? Putting him with the Dark Order was just the worst mistake they could ever done. Cowboys, villains. Like, I look at James Storm, and I'm going, this guy could be a James Storm. His moveset's incredible. He can work. He just has no personality. He's not a cowboy. I mean,
Hold on. I got a question.
Go ahead.
I might have lived in the city most of my life. I mean, I am from Chicago. I did go to college in Arkansas for 4 years. I have yet to meet a cowboy with a personality, straight up. I mean, just being honest. I have yet to meet one with one. I mean,
I grew up in Texas. I'm telling you, there's even black cowboys. Trust me on that. But when you call yourself cowboy, and you have that persona, I'm thinking of a bad boy. You know, I'm thinking black hat, black shirt, black pants, you know, a gunslinger. This guy, it's like his energy, and he builds it towards the end of a match, but he comes out flat a lot of the times. And when you have no personality, the last thing you do is put him with the Dark Order, with a bunch of guys with masks on. It doesn't make any sense.
Hold on. You got to give him his props. Think of the Long Ranger. Long Ranger had a mask.
Well, maybe, but that's
you
not the
Long Ranger. You almost you kind of proved Chris' point because Long Ranger never had much of a personality either.
I'm just talking when you saw James Storm evolve into the Cowboy James Storm. He had an edge to him. There's no edge to Adam Page. When you have a world champion, I want to believe every time he goes to the ring, he should win the match. I'm surprised when he wins the match. I thought the Murder Hawk was going to destroy him and win the title. I really did. But he put on a show and let him destroy him.
Yeah.
You know? He surprised me.
I thought Adam Cole, baby, was going to beat him.
How many chances has he had? 3 or 4?
No, I don't think Adam Cole would have
beat
him first round.
Hold on.
The reason I didn't think Adam
over him.
Here's
the reason. If you're gonna put the title on Adam, it's be Adam Cole, not Adam Page. You can't tell me that.
I will put it on Adam Sandler before I will put it on Adam Cole right now.
Oh, that one hurt. Damn. Okay. There's two fundamental problems with Adam Page, especially as champion. The first one is the Hangman. When they were emphasizing that part of his personality, when he was truly the Hangman, this loner who was kicking people's asses and occasionally drinking a beer or two on the way to the ring, that was the guy that people wanted to be their champion. It had echoes of Steve Austin, and it was a guy who, despite that, could really, really go. And you're right, when they hooked him with the Dark Order, all of that stuff got dialed back to a significant degree. The people wanted that Adam Page to win the championship, and that Adam Page is not the Hangman right now. They need to get back to that mentality. That's number one. Number two, for some reason, Tony Khan does not understand the fundamentals of booking a babyface champion.
And I totally agree.
Yeah, I think that's because he grew up with the NWA heel mentality of booking a heel champion, because that's kind of like what they're doing with him right now. He's a babyface champion that's being booked as a heel champion who only defends his title once a month. He doesn't come in like as strong as he should, and that's a booking problem. But what they need to do, and I know that you guys hate this man's guts, but the fundamental way to book a babyface champion is the way they booked Hogan. He was a superhero with a rogues gallery, and that is what Adam Page needs. He needs to be behind the eight ball all the time. He needs to be booked as the comeback kid so that he's facing Monster. I thought they were going in the right direction with Archer, but they didn't build it enough, and they didn't give Archer enough in terms of doing that. The way they need to book Adam Page is to build up his opponent as an unbeatable monster. Get him in the match, and the match he gets the living hell beaten out of him for like the first half. The second half he comes back from behind the eight ball and wins. That's how they should be doing Adam Page, along with the Hangman persona that they have lost the ball on. If they did that, he would be an effective champion, and we'd be, like, loving him right now.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Is he the top babyface in AEW?
No, and that's the
even
problem.
With the belt
ooh.
On, that's the problem.
Ooh,
hold on. That's the problem.
Let me step in this one. Hold on. Let me put it in this perspective. For a person that has been there from the beginning, he is the top babyface. Okay? I know CM Punk has came in. I know Samoa Joe came in. I know all these. But think about when they first started. That's what you have to go into the mind of Tony Khan. This is why I commend him. I commend him for it, though. Even though people think it's a stupid business decision, in actuality, it's not. Tony Khan looks at, okay, you've been here, you should be champion, we got these guys over here that could be champion and could definitely carry it very well, but you did earn that opportunity, so I'm going to give it to you. That makes you look good into the future wrestlers to where they want to go ahead and sign with you to where you have better champions. So I get it. Is it disappointing? Yeah, but I get what he's doing. He's building it. He's building it slowly, lot slower than others, but he's building it.
Then they shouldn't have put the belt on him.
I disagree. I think they should have. They should have. No. Because guess what? If you don't put the belt on him, you know how many of the original AEW fans you're going to turn around. You're going to turn those guys away from you if you don't do that.
People are hot one day and cold the next day, though. It's a timing issue with Adam Page. They wanted to break that wall down, so they put that belt on Kenny Omega. They started doing all that stuff with Impact and New Japan and all this other stuff. Adam Page, like, literally probably should have been the one that beat Jericho because they fought in the initial title match for the AEW World Champion. I could have seen him chase Jericho for a year, but Jericho's a tweener. Is he a bad guy? Is he a good guy? So now I think a lot of these wrestlers are like that now.
Yeah, it is. That's what AEW is developing.
I don't see Adam Page being booked as a pure babyface. Like, he's not booked
either.
As a babyface. He's booked as an alcoholic with a fucking group of misfits.
Yeah, that comes back to the Hangman problem. They should have made him a loner badass and kept him that way.
Hangman should have been the one to take the title off of Jericho.
Well, see,
that's what I'm thinking.
Hangman should be the top babyface of AEW, but perception is half the battle. And I can agree with you, Bobby, on the fact that Tony Khan is paying back the people that started his organization, and we'll come back to that in a minute because I got some things to say about Cody that are relevant to this subject. But that's much later. But Hangman, he should be the top babyface in the promotion, but because of booking mistakes, that aura, that perception has been taken away.
Let me ask you guys a question real quick.
You can't book a top babyface as a drunk.
Well, and the fluctuation of a lot of babyfaces coming from WWE that we all love,
really?
Bryan Danielson. Yeah, CM Punk, he's coming out of retirement. All this stuff is timing. This all happened when he became the world champion.
Hold on, let me say this. And this is a point that I want to get to, that some people don't really think about, because it really hasn't been said, and I give Tony his props. He kind of keeps this under wraps. He keeps this under his vest. But I'm looking at it and I'm seeing certain things. Do you think it was Tony's booking that stopped the drunk Adam Page where he was a wildfire, or something nobody ever and nobody has considered, not even Jim Cornette itself? Do you think that the network stopped them from doing the drunk?
Well, they did send Moxley to rehab, supposedly.
I think it's the network.
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah, it's the network.
I mean,
it's the network.
Because here's the thing, though. If this is going to be your babyface champion, he can't be a drunk. And,
exactly.
But
yes, he can.
But here's the reason I say it was a network and not Tony Khan. It just disappeared. It wasn't like this was part of his storyline. This was part of his character. This was part of his show. And it just disappeared. Like,
this isn't indie wrestling
like
anymore.
It just went away. Like, if it was
the times
Khan,
have changed.
I think it would have worked into the show that he stopped doing. I think it would have been worked into the show versus it just stopped. Like, it never happened.
Well, the Moxley thing happened. You know, they said he was sidelined in treatment for alcohol. That's what was said in the dirt sheets. And it seemed like Adam Page kind of stopped drinking around that time.
Well,
like,
it could have been related, too, though, because, because, you know, you got the top star going in for, like, alcohol treatment, and the face of
it's
your
possible.
Company has a drinking character. Yeah, I mean.
Gimmick, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely be related.
Yeah, it's quite possible.
I think it was the network.
It could have been the network. It could have been Tony Khan like jumping the gun on the network because he got scared of the perception, and especially now that TBS or TNT have Discovery. Yeah, they've got a new. TBS or somebody has a new CEO coming in. The network has a new executive that is going to start blocking some of the more questionable, some of the harder content for AEW, and they may have to start watering things down, including the blood and things like that.
The thing is basically – Discovery bought them. Discovery bought that whole outfit.
Yeah.
And it's Discovery's people that are going in there that was the death of WCW. You know, you had executives coming in there that, okay, this wasn't part of our plan. We didn't make this. Okay, time to boot you out. Which is something I want you guys to keep in mind because it's going to be another conversation in the future that's going to reflect this. But let's go ahead.
Just to clarify, the AEW has some advantages here, though. When AOL merged with Time Warner, WCW was $87 million in the hole, and that's why they 86'd the company. AEW is not nearly that far in debt, if at all. I think they're running profit right now, which means that they may get a little more leeway. But that's all I'll contribute to that until later.
Wait. I had something I was just thinking about something. This is the one thing that I did learn. And I learned when it comes to these TV stations. I was working on trying to get something for the, the cable station. It's not a cable station, but it's one of the main stations that had a cable outlet. It was weird. It was like WRTV, but it was like point something. You know what I'm saying? When they went to digital.
Right.
I remember meeting with this guy, and it wasn't WTHR. It was another one, but I digress. The guy's attitude wasn't even about profit. The guy's attitude is what he wanted on that network. And he just did not like wrestling. This guy, I don't care if we said we had Ric Flair signed, Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, and I mean Ric Flair in his prime, The Rock in his prime, Stone Cold Steve Austin, they had the proven track records and they could still go like they were 20 years old. He did not want wrestling on his channel. And that is one of the things that I am afraid that Tony Khan is going to have to go through. Now, again, this is going to be a subject we'll talk about in the future.
Does he have the money, though, to go to a streaming network like a Peacock or something and just go that route?
Or to a different network entirely.
Though.
He could go. I mean, he could go to
You're
USA.
Right.
This is a different.
I mean, USA would definitely be an option if the WWE leave USA for Fox. The turn.
Oh, y'all
mean,
going a little too ahead. Y'all going ahead of me. Y'all going ahead of me.
I'm sorry.
You started the wheels, brother.
But going back to Tony Khan, that is because I mean, let's be honest. In the heyday of WCW, when the numbers were great. The only person who wanted WCW on Turner Network was Ted Turner.
True. That's true.
And that's
but
what AEW
that,
is
once
right
again,
now.
That's a guy who liked wrestling. He was a fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
This wasn't a guy where they were coming in and he didn't back them because his pockets was deep. We know Tony Khan's pockets are deep, but the networks are a little bit richer than Tony Khan.
Yeah,
so
true.
I just follow the
true.
Money trail.
But all of this could have contributed to screwing up Adam Page. And
yes.
we all agree that there is something off with his title reign that needs to be corrected or they need to get the belt off him. And I'm not sure at this point. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly who would fit the bill as champion, though, because you'd
Would
you'd
they
have
do a
to,
transition champion?
Well, maybe, but that depends on whether Tony Khan wants a babyface champion or a heel. At this point, since the company is really heel-heavy, I would want a babyface champion.
Exactly.
So, my question to you guys is this. It's simple. Would we say that Adam Page is the worst men's AEW champion that they could have?
Oh, they only had
They had four. They had Chris Jericho, Dean Ambrose, Don Moxley, Kenny Omega, and Adam Page. And Adam Page would be the worst.
He would be the worst, but
really,
I don't.
I'm going to disagree with you guys on this.
I thought the
Jericho reign was a little too long, but I understood him being the first champion and giving them.
He
gave him publicity, though. He was a big name that you have your company, and people know him,
no,
you know. And we
Jericho
still,
was
you were
the
tuning
right
in.
Champion at the
exactly.
right time.
Time, yeah. I think they missed the boat by not having Adam Page chase that belt for like a year or 8 months and then get that belt off of him and then doing the Kenny Omega feud. I think they missed the boat on that. I really do. But that's neither here nor there. How do they move forward?
Well, it was also because during Jericho's title run, that's when they had Adam Page and Kenny Omega doing the tag team stuff too, though. So they were like nowhere near the like world title picture the way they were booking them.
True that.
Out of the four, I would have to say the worst. The one that's been booked the worst has been Paige, but the one who overstayed his welcome was Omega. It's not that he was a bad champion. You're right. No,
I thought you were going to say Moxley. I really did. I thought you were going to say Moxley.
The reason I say Omega is that, like, through the middle of his title reign, everything with the Elite and with the crossovers kind of overstayed its welcome.
That's
true. So far, So far, even though Paige has been booked wrong, there's still a chance to, like, recover it. By the time Omega lost the title, everybody was ready for Omega to lose the title.
Can I say one thing about Paige? Hasn't Paige beat the better wrestlers? Like, he beat Kenny Omega for the title. He's already beat Bryan Danielson. I mean, he beat Murderhawk. Like, Moxley was fighting Hager, and, you know, I mean, he was doing some of the garbage matches that you would see, like, this is a championship match?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Paige, and maybe even with the bad booking, I feel like he's still, even Adam Cole, he's been in more high-profile matches as the world champion, whether he's a good one or not, and he's won all those matches.
I didn't even think about that,
but that is true, though, because when you look at quality of opponents, I would say the only
Paige
person
has the best record.
The only person of the four that probably had better opponents, to be 1,000% honest with you, is Chris Jericho.
Okay. Well, Paige was one of his opponents, and I mean, you might be right.
Yeah, but see, I can't knock Moxley's title reign because he did it during the pandemic. He was the champion during the bad year with no crowds whatsoever, and they basically had to book him in anything in order to keep the ratings and the interest going. So
that's a good factor. You're right.
Yeah, I can't really knock Moxley.
Let me say this. Y'all took my answer right out of my mouth. It was John Moxley to me that was the worst. I could not sit up there and knock Paige on.
But like he said, though, it was pandemic Moxley. It was
I don't care if it was pandemic Moxley.
The
aesthetics just look differently. That's when you're supposed to bring it out the most.
Yeah, you're probably right.
No, it doesn't look differently. It doesn't look differently because I'm looking at the matches itself. You guys put the proof out there already. Look at the quality matches he had. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't see Moxley.
This is going to help the argument that Moxley's title run was worse. I honestly think, and keep in mind, Jericho's reign went a long time. It was right time, right place, right everything. But during the pandemic,
right.
I think Jericho could have kept the belt and done better during that pandemic because Jericho is more entertaining.
Or even during the pandemic, they could have done a couple, like one guy's the champ, 2 months later, the next guy, just to keep people intrigued. You could have switched the belt back and forth a couple times.
True. I agree. But Moxley's run was worse. It was worse.
You know, that would be a horrible gimmick, pandemic Moxley.
That's what I thought it was.
Hey, get it on a t-shirt.
That's what I thought it was. I seriously thought that's what it was. I mean, I looked at the matches, almost had a heart attack, died, had breathing problems. Yeah.
I mean, look what it did to Drew McIntyre. It ruined. They won't even let him sniff the title, you know, anymore.
They
let him beat Lesnar.
They booked a SmackDown match for his WrestleMania match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a disaster.
That was terrible.
It was a disaster.
Yeah.
But I digress.
Yeah.
That was terrible. Now, you talking about somebody getting shafted?
Yeah.
I was waiting on the singles to come out and the bell bottom.
You McIntyre to face Happy Corbin at Mania. Like, really?
Yeah. Well, see, in McIntyre's case, it would have been he got the sword. Not the shaft, but the sword, which is much more.
Well, good point.
Good point.
I'm sorry, McIntyre got. Yeah, he got screwed. He got screwed hard in that one.
Hardcore.
Yeah. So, as we talk about AEW, it's one thing that's been going around, and people have been 50-50, and I'm going to say it right here on the air. Some of y'all fans have been phony as hell when it comes to this subject. A lot of y'all has been phony on both sides of the fence. I'm going to ask this question. Rob, go first. Tony, go second. Chris, go third, and then I'll follow Chris.
Okay.
Do you think Cody Rhodes is a sellout?
Oh, okay. This answer is going to shock you, but here it comes. No, Cody Rhodes is not a sellout, because in order to be a sellout, you have to show up in the first place. Okay. Let me explain this very simply.
Ooh. I know you were going to go savage.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was going there either.
No. Cody has proven to me through the actions that he's taken that everything that he has said for the past 7 years was absolutely a lie. His intention was always to go back to Vince McMahon and the WWE, and the only thing that he's done for the past 7 years was to prove that he could be in a main event somewhere else and to convince Vince McMahon to sign him to a new contract. Everything with the Bullet Club, everything with AEW, even everything with All In, at least from Cody's perspective, was an absolute lie. And I...
NWA?
Yes, even that. I do not... I have lost so much respect for Cody for making this completely ridiculous business decision that is going to make him useless in 2 years. Let's forget about the fact of how much Cody has changed in 7 years. The WWE has not changed in 7 years. They will give him a six-month push, maybe a token title run, the same way they did with Kofi Kingston, and then they are going to bury him into the basement. He is going to become a jobber to the stars, and he's going to be locked into a multi-year contract, and it's going to make him complete. It's going to destroy his career. And I cannot believe that he was stupid enough to do what he did. That's why I didn't believe the rumors when they came out, and why I didn't believe them until he actually walked out there and fought Seth Rollins on WrestleMania Saturday. This guy has screwed himself is not really the proper phrase. The only thing I can think of is that he's committed seppuku. He's Harry carried himself, the Japanese ritual suicide, where you take the sword, you not only disembowel yourself, but then you turn it sideways, strike it up to your heart and do it again, and then flop on the floor like a fish. That's what Cody has done to his career, and it makes me sick to my stomach, and it just disrespects everything that he's done in the last six and a half, 7 years, and I'm disgusted with Cody, and that's all I've got on him.
And on a side note, if you listen to what he just said, that means don't cross him, because he will do some terrible things that make you suffer. Now, next, Tony.
I'm actually looking forward to following Rob, because I have a different take on the Cody Rhodes situation, but for a lot of the same reasons, though, to be 1,000% honest with you. Then he fell out. He absolutely sold out. And he did it for the best thing for him and his family. But what he wants, it's not a matter of like what the fans want or anything like that. But what he wants, he did sell out, and I applaud him for it. And here's the reason I applaud him for it. Cody Rhodes is Stardust. Stardust is getting paid. He's said a lot. He's done a lot since leaving the WWE. I mean, he slammed WWE. He's been very vocal and done a great job of marketing himself over the last 7 years. But let's be honest with you. AEW's been around for like 3 years, right? Cody Rhodes is a high-priced mid-card. He was not a main eventer in AEW, and he's not going to be a main event in WWE. No matter what we're going to say about Cody Rhodes, he is not a main eventer. And that's why Tony Khan didn't pay him. Tony Khan was not paying that money for a mid-card. And that's what Cody was. He was part of the clique. He was part of the executive team. He did a lot of stuff. But as far as his wrestling status in AEW, before they got Bryan Danielson, before they got CM Punk, before they started improving the roster, Cody Rhodes was still a mid-carder. Cody Rhodes was his ass paid, being a mid-card. This man threw a lot of money at him, which is crazy. They threw Cody Rhodes all this money after all the people that left the WWE. Like, when you look at the numbers, like, the people who left and went to AEW versus Cody Rhodes is like, Jesus Christ, this is not a win for WWE at all. Because we know how the bad part about it is, and this is what the Star takes in Rosma, we know how this story's going to end. It's going to end bad for Cody Rhodes. We could see Cody Rhodes. We might see Stardust next year in L.A. for WrestleMania. But he will be paid doing that. Cody Rhodes set himself up to get paid doing stupid shit. But he's a mid-carder at best. You cannot tell me. You cannot tell me he's a main eventer. He is not a main eventer.
Oh, man. Can you tag me in?
He is not a main eventer. Look,
can I tag
you? Oh, you're next, so. But this mid-car Stardust got paid. Did he sell out? Yes. And I applaud him for it. Because Goldust didn't get paid like that doing this shit.
Okay. I agree with both of our fellow compadres, but I disagree. You're as worth as much as somebody wants to pay you. It's the same thing in the NBA. It's the same thing in football. Whatever somebody wants to give you, and it was up to Cody to create this opportunity for himself. He did go to NWA. He did go to ROH. I think he might have made an appearance on Impact. He did go to AEW. And when AEW first came out, for a while, he was the best wrestler in AEW, him and his brother. They were fighting the Young Bucks. They were talking about how Cody's such this. He's the old school. This is what wrestling used to be. He doesn't, you know, he might do a backflipper here and there, but he wasn't doing all the crazy stuff. He was getting in there and wrestling. And somewhere he lost his way. Because, I mean, I saw those matches against Aleister Black. Well, I can't remember his name right now, but y'all know who I'm talking about. It seemed like he had phoned it in, like he knew months before he was leaving. I'm not gonna injure myself. You know, lathering your back up, setting yourself on fire. I was watching him going, who is this guy? But you're only as worth as much as somebody wants to give you. And wrestling, you're not promised tomorrow. We all know that. They're one injury away. Provide for your family. I wouldn't call it a sellout because Vince McMahon could cut him tomorrow just like he did, 90 wrestlers over the last 2 years? He was giving out contracts and then cutting them the next month. I agree with you guys. He might they might throw him a bone. I really do think he's going to win the title. He's not beating Roman Reigns. I don't know if they're going to switch the titles back up. Throw that out the window. Unless he has a stable, he's not beating the Bloodline, man. Because you're going to tell me Roman Reigns is beating Brock Lesnar up and down the ring and Cody Rhodes shows up and beats him? I ain't falling for it.
Roman Reigns will still be champion at WrestleMania in L.A.
Most likely. All right. Most likely, but go ahead, man.
All right, my turn. Everybody knows I love AEW. I love the hell out of it. Me and Rob, we went to that first All In. We had a blast.
Yeah.
Lucky.
The Woodstock of wrestling. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. It was.
I had to watch the pay-per-view. That pay-per-view, before you go, that was the first pay-per-view in years I spent $50 for.
It was worth every penny.
Check this out. I want y'all to hear me out on this.
Go ahead.
Can I call him a sellout? Technically, yes. But honestly, in my heart, I don't think he is. You guys mentioned some things that you that if you put them together, you would kind of understand my point. First of all, when all of this started, when it was all in, when he did this, yeah, Cody was fighting everybody. He was the best wrestler on the roster. He even fought his brother to a match that was already there.
Yeah,
hey, this is one of the best matches they ever had.
That.
You also have to understand this. Cody Rhodes is the father of the American Dream. The American Dream did a lot of huge and big things when he was in the wrestling business, okay? He was probably one of the highest ranking people that you could have in any type of federation or facility when it comes to professional wrestling. Now,
with me having my
journeys in the independent scene, I see a lot of stuff that happens that's subtle that sometimes people just look over and don't pay attention to. For instance, when you said that he all of a sudden started wrestling like he just didn't give a crap. Well, if you remember, that's when Omega and them was really trying to flex their muscle on the executive side. And that's when Tony Khan really wasn't listening to what he was saying. And the matches were turning out to be quick trash. They were. I look at Cody as saying he's a sellout because of the things he said when he was leaving and he left and having to go back. He sold out. He did. He did on that part. He sold out on his word
That's the sellout part of it.
When you look at the details and you look at the fine print of everything, you got Kenny Olivier, I call her the pirouette princess, that sits up here and is having these matches that really aren't good. They're not. All right? You got the Young Bucks that's just looking out for themselves, and Kenny is the same way. If it's not among them three, they don't care. Cody had a name, and it was, and the WWE didn't ruin it with going to Stardust, but Cody reinvented himself. He went through the Indies. He went to the NWA. And then he also jump-started AEW. He started having some of the best matches on the card when he was there. And guess why he wasn't there? Because he didn't want to deal with the drama when it came to the Young Clucks and the Pirouette Princess. So, my thing is, do I blame him for going? No, I don't. I'm glad he's gone. And then they want to clown on his wife. All right? Now, don't get me wrong. I love Will Smith. All right? I love Will Smith to death. But you talk about Cody Rhodes. He ain't just going to get up there and slap you. He going to take you to the back and whoop you and don't tell nobody about it. I'm sorry. I got mad love for Cody. So instead of being in a fight where they're not treating his wife right, they're not treating him right, he's getting ignored, they want to take his power now, they want to do all this, and then you're going to insult me by paying them more money instead of me, who, if you just wanted me to wrestle, I could out-wrestle them blindfolded, hands behind my back, and my girl and my wife sitting on my face at the same time, and I'm whooping everybody in the ring and can look better doing it. You just insulted me, dude. You wanted me to walk.
Can I ask you something?
What?
Well, did he pigeonhole himself once he said, I could never wrestle for the world title again? Doesn't that automatically make him a mid-carder? Because that means you're not going to be
Hold on, listen. No, it doesn't. Let me go ahead and explain that mentality, and Rob can back me up on this.
Okay.
Whenever you hold a position of an EVP, booker, promoter, blah, blah, blah. When you're up in the upper echelons of the executive offices of professional wrestling, it is a rule. And this is what makes me mad about the Young Bucks and Olivier, even Bandito with Ring of Honor. If you are the booker of a territory, a promotion, you are not to book yourself as champion.
No.
Never.
I disagree. Vern Gagne, Fritz Von Erich, that they sometimes.
I don't. Back then in the '70s. That's it.
I know. I'm just saying.
We're talking about now.
When they
hold on. Let me finish my stuff here.
Yeah.
Let me finish my stuff here because I let you guys finish. Let me finish my stuff here.
Yeah. You just got some good stuff.
Yo. Would you sit here?
But when you're done, I have a question.
What?
And I get what you said. And to me, when you take yourself out of the title picture, you take yourself out of the mid-card status.
No, you don't.
I mean, out of the main event status. Like, you take yourself out of the title
picture.
Yes, you do. You put yourself in mid-card. You are.
Yeah.
Okay, hear me out.
But here's my thing with that. Here's my question before you go, because you can probably answer my question this. You can't expect main event money when you're basically your role is mid card. Like the money that Vince gave him, Tony Khan was not going to give him. Tony Khan is not going to pay Cody Rhodes the way Vince is paying him to be a mid card.
I get what you're saying. But
he got talent that company is going to draw a hell of a lot more money than Cody.
Okay, but this is why I say Marcus is partially right. Whenever Marcus talks about Tony Khan's booking and stuff like that, I say he's partially right all the time. Now, making the matches or whatever, that's when I disagree with him. In this instance, when it comes to a business sense, this is when I disagree with him. Cody has more value not having a title and you paying him that money than anybody on that roster, and guess why? The man has the main relationships with the main people that make your show look good. And I'm talking about before you got CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, okay? MJF is Cody Rhodes' best friend.
Yes.
MJF is the top guy out there. I don't care what you say about Roman Reigns.
No, MJF is
I don't care what you say about Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns, the bloodline, all that crap. I'm sorry. I got a chance to look at MJF. I got a chance to look at Roman Reigns. I'm looking at MJF, period. And I think most people would agree.
And Roman got Paul Heyman on his side, but I definitely agree with you there.
But hold on. Let me finish. I look at the value Cody could bring me as a company versus what he can do individually. If you think that you can sit up here and run a federation with the Hartley boys and the Prairie Princess, you have a wrong thought in your mind. Because those guys are not going to do it for you. Now, if you're thinking, okay, I'm going to lean more on Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, and I keep wanting to call him Lord Alfred Hayes.
Really?
I don't know why I want to do that. Yeah. I keep wanting to call Lord Alfred Hayes for some reason. Yeah.
This is Lord Alfred Hayes. Like, Lord Alfred Hayes with a vicious streak. That's who Billy Regal is.
I
get the Lord Alfred Hayes part of it. I do.
But my thing is, if you have a guy like that, and unless you're planning on letting them take control, which really would make me happy because the Cucamonga kids would be gone. But you could have had Cody in there, too, to really mesh it. And he screwed up on that. This is where I fought Tony Khan. So, when you talk about, did he sell out? Kind of. Did he do the right thing? Damn right. And I have to disagree with you guys on him winning that title. Cody Rhodes is the main event guy. The man can out-wrestle anybody. Or yes, he can.
Okay.
And
no, okay.
Sit up there, and I'm going to have to take issue with what somebody said.
Wait a second.
Well, I have to take big-time issue when you're trying to say Brock Lesnar is something that's better than a Daniel Bryan.
Who said that?
A CM Punk.
Right.
Well, you're saying you wouldn't believe it if Cody Rhodes would sit up there and do it. And Cody Rhodes is almost the same thing.
Not the Roman Reigns in that ring. Not that Roman Reigns.
Wait. I never said I wouldn't believe it. I'm saying no. When I call
no, you didn't. You did.
When I say Cody Rhodes is a mid-carder, I'm not saying what he can do. I'm saying how he's being used.
But you don't have to pay him as a mid-carder, though.
Cody Rhodes can't,
that doesn't mean you have to pay him as a mid-carder.
Okay, 2 points real quick. Number one, Cody, before he went to WWE, I think that what Cody was trying to do in the company was to do the same thing with AEW that his dad was doing for Crockett, and that was to be the mid-card gateway. He set himself up to where he could be the measuring stick to everybody that was coming in. He could team with baby faces to see if they could go on to challenge Flair and make money. And he would use himself to get he would use his star power to get mid-card titles over. Dusty did that with the NWA TV Championship and the U.S. Championship, and Cody tried to do that with the TNT title. That's why it got put on him 3 different times.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. And having said that, Cody was valuable to AEW also behind the scenes, because you remember he was a co-producer on the TV show. And part of the reason, supposedly, that he left was because he wanted to have the rights to produce his dad's autobiography on A&E. And that is kind of a lame thing to do. But as far as ring skills go, Cody Rhodes has a good, solid work rate, and he has the potential to be a main eventer if booked correctly. But in AEW, he was deliberately booked in the mid-card so that he could be like his dad. And that it hamstringed him a little bit, but I understand what Bobby's saying in that he could have been in the main event picture if he had taken advantage of it the way that the Bucks and Omega do.
I totally agree with that.
I disagree slightly with that, because here's the thing with Dusty Rhodes. I don't think anybody ever looked at Dusty Rhodes as a mid card at all. Yeah, he did the mid card title. He did a lot of stuff, but Dusty Rhodes was in the main event picture a lot.
Oh, he went against Flair a lot.
Not only
that
he was booking himself in those matches, which you were saying that you wouldn't want an EVP to book themselves in championship matches.
Well,
exactly.
The thing is, it depends on the company. You remember that Jerry Lawler booked himself as the champion of Memphis for 30 years. So,
but he was Memphis.
Right.
Yes, he was.
You're right. But
Jerry
the
Lawler
thing
is Memphis, like the finals was Texas, so.
Right, exactly. All of that depends on the situation.
Think about what was just said.
Jerry Lawler booked himself as champion.
Yeah.
He was
Memphis.
All right. Terry Reiner was Texas. He booked his dad was the booker there.
Whoa. First of all, Texas was David Von Erich. That's my that's still my
David was the best Von Erich wrestler.
Okay, David,
Chris,
whatever. It's still
Terry,
still fits in the same category. It still fits in the same category. When you have the marketing machine behind
you,
if you have one of the biggest marketing machines behind you at the time of your existence, you can get over as champion at any time. Period.
Yeah.
But
you know, WWE is a better is people consider WWE a better program than AEW is because of the marketing.
Yeah.
We just talked about last week WrestleMania.
So
it was
Cody
the worst
going
thing
to Hollywood.
But it pulled how much money? Yeah. Why? Because of the marketing, because of the publicity package, because of the
that's so important to it. And sometimes I feel like we're the only ones who didn't like it.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
and everybody else is hypnotized like WrestleMania.
Is he Hollywood though? Is that what kind of, you know, I noticed he was on this show and he had his reality show. Now that he's what you said, this huge WWE marketing giant. Is he trying to get into movies like John Cena did? Because he wants to be an actor. He's taking acting classes. He wants to do this, do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that would make sense to go, like you said, follow in the footsteps of a Stone Cold, The Rock, and John Cena. You know, win a title, get into movies, and walk away into the sunset, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's
and
a lie
up all the way to the
back. You turn me, Bobby.
Yeah, the man is smart.
That's why I say he sold out, but I'm not saying he sold out as in a negative way, though.
Yeah.
Well, that all
it's just like those ECW chants you sold out when they would go to WWE from ECW, or they would always say you sold out, and you know, the money's not. This ain't the same money. We're not talking $1 million to $3 million is a big difference a year. You know, so
Seth Rollins said it best. When they said Seth Rollins sold out, he's like, no, I didn't sell that. I brought in. You got to do what's best for you.
Well, that may be true.
Wait. Hold on. Seth Rollins sold out the time that he let Becky Lynch get into the bed with him. That's when he sold out.
Oh, good Lord. I'd sell out for that.
I wouldn't.
I know I would.
I would not. Fuck
but she wears the pants in the relationship. Who's hitting belts right now and who ain't wrestling, you know what I'm saying?
No,
Seth needs to pick his game back up, too.
Gentlemen, if I could have a wife like Becky
That's
Lynch.
WWE.
Gentlemen, if I could have a wife like Becky Lynch, I would deliberately take my testicles and throw them into her purse and leave them there next to the lifesavers.
I can't do it. I don't know what to say.
My jaw hit the floor. I'm trying to pick my mouth up, guys.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. Nikita Lyons.
I had to throw that in there.
Come in front of me right now.
There's other women in WWE to do that over. Becky Lynch ain't one of them.
So is LA.
Anyway,
Becky Lynch is like a Viking superhero, man.
Anyway, circling back to the clean world, Cody
Becky Lynch
taking
is like a
the
Viking.
Money is not. Just cleaning my mind because it's Easter. Cody's taking the money is not my issue. Any human being with a sense of purpose wants to go for the bigger, better thing. What bothers me is that everything that he was – all the trash that he talked about WWE and everything that led up to the beginnings of AEW and especially All In, he didn't mean a word of it, and he threw all of that away the second that he signed that contract. That's what bothers me.
I think we were talking about it in our chat and probably wasn't on the show, though, but, I mean, that's the problem I have with what Cody Rhodes did. I don't have a problem with what he did, but everything Cody has done from the time he left, it would have been – because John Moxley didn't really, like, jump on WWE like that. Like, John Moxley, Chris Jericho, like, if any of those guys had went back, it would have been as big of an issue as it was with Cody Rhodes. For the fact that, like, that path he took when he left and the stuff he said and the feelings. I mean, and Cody Rhodes cut a good promo. And the reason I say he cut a good promo because he made us all believe he truly felt all the stuff he felt towards WWE.
Yeah, he broke the damn throne. And all of that was a lie. Every single minute of that was a lie. He called for a revolution that he didn't want.
Well, I can't say he didn't want it. I just didn't think it came. You see what I'm saying? I can't say that he didn't want the revolution. I just didn't think he thought it came in a form that he thought that was right.
This could be
would anybody agree with me on that?
What, this could be context for, a different time, but, was it like the new guys coming in, the CM Punk, the Daniel Bryanson, I mean, Bryan Danielson and everything? Like, did he just, like,
there might not have been any room for him.
Well, AEW is not perfect. We can all agree on that. It's just,
right.
If you're going to
AEW is not perfect, though, but did he look at the rest of it going like AEW outgrew him?
Well, maybe so, but the thing is that if you're taking on a machine like the WWE, if you're going to take it on, then it's going to look like AEW in the end. It's got to be on the same level, and we're going to argue in a bit whether it is, but it's got to at least have the same. It's got to at least have the same power behind it. You can't, it can't stay on the same level as Impact.
Right.
That's true.
Right. That's facts.
All right. So let's move on to the next subject real quick, because we went over a little bit on that one. That was a deep one.
Imagine that.
That was a good one.
Well, from AEW to WWE, overall, with the federations, who has the better talent? Up-and-coming talent, that is. Not the guys that's already established, but up-and-coming talent. And
wow.
Who sets the stage to be – who's planning better for the future?
I want to know what y'all mean by – is Sammy Guevara considered up-and-coming talent? Are we talking about new guys from 2021, 2022?
No, I would say Sammy Guevara would be a good up and coming.
Okay, because that changes.
I mean,
that's what I
look
to know.
I looked at Sammy though, because like Sammy's one of those developing up and comers for the AEW though. So I would definitely include Sammy in that conversation.
I just think Bron Breakker's going to be a superstar. I really do.
Okay.
I mean, he's a Steiner. I like him. I like Solo Psycho Joseph Fatu is what I know him as. But the Samoans. Them guys, they can just keep churning them guys out, and they all end up being great heels, great wrestlers, great tag team wrestlers. But Bron Breakker's my breakout star that I'm going, we're going to see this guy for the next 15 years. And I just believe it.
Okay, I'm going to split my answer here. WWE has the larger up-and-coming talent pool, but AEW has the better up-and-comers because they are drawing their up-and-coming talent from the independent circuit. The WWE isn't really doing that anymore. They're taking raw athletes from different principles and putting them through their own performance center, whereas AEW is doing it the old-fashioned way, and they're signing people from the independent circuit who've been honing their craft all this time out in the world. So it, when you weigh it that way, WWE has the bigger they have the bigger program, but AEW has the more quality stuff to draw from. It's like getting an apple from the barrel or getting it off the tree.
Okay. Tony, what do you think?
Honestly, it pains me to say this, though. Here's the thing. AEW, MJF, Sammy Guevara, phenomenal talent that we've seen because of AEW.
Yes,
but
absolutely.
Overall, AEW relies more on like recycled talent from WWE more so than homegrown talent. And I think WWE, whether we want to admit it or not, WWE is a marketing machine and invests a lot of money into developmental, and they have done more, and I think they continue to do more as far as developmental, and I think WWE is going to be that person, is going to be that group. They get
WWE is always going to have the advantage.
Like Bron Breakker, at this point in his career, should not be doing the things that he's doing because he's green as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's
I wanted to throw one thing in, though.
With the white marketing people behind him. Like, I don't know if Braun Breaker could do this in AEW. And when I look, there's two people I've kind of looked at. There's one from WWE and there's one from AEW that I kind of looked at when you gave us this question in group chat. I looked at Hook and I looked at Braun Breaker.
I did too.
I just think, and it's not really a talent, it's not really a development, but it's from a marketing standpoint. And the marketing is huge. We can't discount the importance of marketing. Because of marketing, I think WWE is doing a better job with Braun Breaker than AEW is doing with Hook.
Well, WWE has the advantage of being the older company. They're the institution.
There you go.
And that's going to give them an advantage in that direction.
I can't penalize them for that advantage.
But when we call it, when NXT was at its height before the changes, and they literally took all the wrestlers that used to be in ROH that we used to watch, some of the Impact guys, and they built NXT up. Well, we call that up-and-coming talent because they were the lower level of WWE, even though we know these guys have wrestled for 15 years and 12 years on the independent scene, or are they just veterans that came in and did their thing, like a Samoa Joe, like a Finn Balor, like the Undisputed Era.
But take it a step further, too, though. AEW took their developmental, and they making money on this, though, because it's like the same time that WWE put in NXT is on your main roster at AEW now.
That's my point, yes. So that would be called developed talent that's surprised.
Yeah, it depends on what we're talking about. Are we talking about unknowns or are we talking about established? Because there's you're right, NXT did snatch up a lot of established stars from smaller promotions and made them look like they were starting from the beginning, and they weren't. And we knew.
Right,
that's
a good point.
So,
I'm looking for mainstream, though, because for like, you guys are really, 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 really knowledgeable and strong on the independent circuit. So for you, known talent is not known talent to the average wrestler today.
Right.
From what you guys see in NXT, you look at those guys as established stars. But for like the mainstream public, they're new.
All right, I'm about to put my little pick in there. And best up-and-comer talent overall, I hate to say this. I really do hate to say this. But it's WWE.
Yeah.
Look at what they're doing. Braun Breaker is a good example. But look at Nikita Lyons. All right,
yeah.
I'm not just saying it because she looked good to me. I'm just saying, look at her. She can work. That girl can work.
Yeah.
Look at L.A. Knight.
Yeah.
Look at Gunther.
Yes.
Look at Dragunov. Yo, you have a lot of these guys that are way ahead of the game than what you have with these guys that's going to QT Marshall School.
Right.
And some of that is because some of these, now, I have a very good friend that's actually has the Women's Rhodes Academy title right now. Her name's Shauna Reed. I don't know if you remember Shauna Rock, but she came to one of our shows at the Haunted House in Paloma Star.
Yes, I remember her.
Yeah, she's the Rhodes Academy Women's Champion.
Mm-hmm.
I see that they're trying to do some things there. I do see they try to do some things there because some of the people that she told me is there, okay? But again, they're taking the slow motion resolution to get there, and that's what's going to hurt them. WWE is going to hurt themselves because they're on too much of a fast track, though. But their marketing makes it up. Their marketing and their production makes it up.
Yeah.
They can cover a lot of mistakes that they do better than they can.
What was the guy's name that injured
AEW?
That injured Big E.
Now,
he was in developmental. And I just don't understand letting a guy like that flip one of your veterans over on his head. And I blame
he's
got to
learn sometime, though. He's got a lot of sometimes.
You could tell he's still green. I know, but man, it's just upsetting when I see. To me, that's preventable.
Oh, yeah.
When you got these veterans, they need to be calling the matches. You don't come in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just it's bothersome.
Yeah, but
and
this
I
is
just,
the thing. I think Big E thought he could do that move correctly. And unfortunately, it didn't work out.
I believe that. I do believe that.
I do think that Big E was comfortable with doing that with him, though. So, like, I can't put it completely on him. Because
yeah.
I really do think Big E was comfortable doing that spot with him.
But
when I saw it,
okay.
I was like, wow. What? When I saw it, I was like, yeah, this guy needs to be back down at NXT. He needs a little bit more work, you know. I wasn't thinking he did it on purpose or tried to injure him, but
I was like. And he was right there at the hospital as soon as Big E was there, too.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
so,
better than a lot of guys.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, but I just look at it, and I just think that WWE, with the money that they have, because that's why they can pay
mm-hmm.
these big salaries, will either be they're going to be that golden gate that they're going to build. They're going to let AEW take all the failures and things that can't work out. And they're going to keep plucking from AEW with the money. That's how they're going to do it. Oh, we're just going to change our business strategy. Okay, you got some good guys. We'll offer more money and have them come over. You know, let them get established and develop there, and we'll bring them here. So,
well, that can only last for so long, Bobby. Give it a couple of years, and the whole thing may fall apart because WWE does have some serious problems. Even though with their marketing, they do have the ability to mask some of the things that are wrong internally, those cracks are going to keep getting bigger, and eventually, in a couple years, AEW may surpass them if the match quality doesn't improve and if the booking doesn't improve, because you can only mask that for so long, and eventually a lot of up-and-comers are going to be looking at AEW and saying, why am I going through the big machine just to lose when I can go through AEW and do it the right way?
Let me say this right off top. I don't disagree with you on that. This is where I defer with you on that. When it comes to you saying, you know, the guy that's the veteran or the guy that's learning his craft will go to AEW first. I agree with that 100%. My thing that I'm looking at is, number one, Vince McMahon and the WWE has so much money till even though they might be developing cracks from the floor up, they got a man right down there with a spatula and some paint and some good old caulk covering up them patches. You know what I'm saying? They have to have a major catastrophe for something to screw up that machine that they have.
You're absolutely right, but it can't last forever. That's all I'm saying.
Especially no, it won't last forever,
but
it's
going to
be more than a couple of years, though. I'm saying another 10, 15 years before anything like that happens.
Well, granted,
unless they sell the company.
Well, see, that's another thing. The casuals are on the casuals are on the side of the WWE, and that's the truth right now, and that's why WrestleMania 38 didn't go over like the lead balloon that we thought it did. But I thought that it was the worst Mania of all time, at least in the bottom five. But
yeah, it's
casuals,
definitely bottom five.
The people that only watch once a year loved it.
Night 2 was worse ever. Night 2 was worse ever.
But anyway, the point is, Bobby, you're right that they have the advantage right now, but for how long? It could be 10 years, it could be 5, it could be 2. But if they keep booking the company the way they're booking the company, eventually it's going to flip, especially now since there is no monopoly. Now that there's an alternative that's established, it may come down. It's just a question of when.
Look at what happened this week. This week was something that people, it was subtle, But people did not pay attention to that change. Okay? It actually happened last week. It continued this week. Lacey Evans is the biggest example of somebody that is in that organization saying, what the hell are y'all doing? This is what we need to do. And Lacey Evans, I'm sorry. I will admit I liked her as that Southern Belle. I did. I thought it was funny. I thought it was cool. I thought it was kind of crazy. I said, okay, I could dig her, right? This mm-hmm. character that she's doing now, this right here, the Marine, the single mom, the stuff that she went through when she was a kid, putting her personal life in there, no, I'm sorry. That's taking me. That's got my vision like, hold on, wait a minute. AEW, whoa, what is this? Whoa, this is true to the heart. This is real life. That's what they're going to, if you notice. And I'm telling you, that right there, that spirit right there is what wrestling is about. It's about what you can relate to in your real life. And they have already turned that corner with a couple of people. They're going to end up doing
yes.
that with more once they see that this is going to work out. Because watch, Lacey Evans is going to be your next women's big-time champion. It's just a fact. That's just going to happen. She's going to be your all-American woman. You're going to have the girl, and this is who I think is going to end up fighting each other. Nikita Lyons is going to end up turning heel. As them two are going to face each other off, and they are going to be the two faces of the women's division.
Nikita's kind of a tweener.
I don't know, brother.
No, I know. I'll guarantee you.
I'm a Lacey Evans fan, and I'm a fan of storylines that are true to wrestlers' hearts. You know, like the CM Punk Jericho with about the drinking. I thought that was a fantastic. They were fighting. He was trying to make him drink and do all this stuff. He was straight edge. But I still, what are they doing with Rhea Ripley? Why?
Dropping
how did
off.
She fall out of
Dropping
favor? This girl's a superstar. I'm looking at her. I'm going, this girl's the next big thing. She's a superstar.
Ooh.
So it's these stories. That's just my opinion. I've seen her work. Go ahead.
Now, I understand what they're doing with Lacey Evans, and that's a good thing. The problem is that going to be the exception, or is that going to be the rule going forward?
Exactly.
If it's going to be the rule, then WWE is going to succeed, and they will get better eventually. But if that's the exception, and if they're going to keep doing stupid crap like the Jackass match for the casual fans in order to make temporary money, and if they keep bringing in part-timers in order to beat the established people to powder, then that tiny light isn't going to grow in the darkness.
Yeah.
That's part of that wrestling as entertainment and not a sport. Like, he's been... I don't know why that's McMahon's formula, to bring in people that have nothing to do with wrestling and basically make your wrestlers look like they're nothing.
Especially UFC people. Yes, that drives me nuts.
It doesn't make sense.
I'll answer that question right now for you, why that's his formula. Mr. T.
Yes, that's
true.
That's true, but that only worked once. And it was the first time they did it.
Mike Tyson.
No. In all honesty, no. It worked more than once. Yeah, Mike Tyson was another one. I mean, no. He's always used the stars to bring eyes on the product. And we can't deny the fact that it has been working.
WrestleMania 3,
he had all kinds of celebrities. He had Alex Cooper and other ones. It gets eyes on the product, though. And that's all.
Well,
that's
maybe,
all they care
but
about.
It's
the entertainment.
Tyson was the special referee, though. He wasn't involved in the match. He didn't get in there. He did one punch to Michaels, but that was for heat. And I understand where you're coming from with celebrities bring the eyes, but they also humiliate the wrestlers, and that's the problem.
Sami Zayn got humiliated. I mean, I'm sorry. He got humiliated. I can't look at him the same way right now. It's not fair to him. But him and the Miz has been doing this when they did it with the rapper last year, the rabbit guy. You know, Miz
whoa,
had
whoa,
him.
Whoa. You cannot put Bad Bunny in the same context.
He weighs 90 pounds. These guys are 220-pound wrestlers who get in a ring with the Bobby Lashley.
Who's flying through the air. He's doing aerial. Leverages everything. Leverages everything.
Name a celebrity that performed better than Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny showed his ass off. And Bad Bunny's bigger than Rey Mysterio.
Yep.
I don't know, guys. I just, you know, these guys are trained wrestlers that do this for a living, and a guy shows up and he can beat you, you know.
He's been training for like the year. He's been training too.
So is Bow Wow.
Like he just walked off the street.
So is little Bow Wow's been training to be a WWE.
Bow Wow, it's a difference between Bow Wow and Bad Bunny.
No, with Bad Bunny, he's like, look at his match. Like, Bad Bunny did phenomenal in that match. Like, he outperformed wrestlers.
You guys are right. Next year, Bad Bunny versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania.
Oh,
no.
God. Okay.
No, I ain't going to go that far.
Well, see, okay, even if a celebrity is talented and they train, like McAfee, before Vince McMahon's involvement, I will admit that match was halfway decent. And even if a celebrity cares about a product, there's two problems with it. Number one, it makes the wrestler that they're in there look bad. Number two, it's only temporary. People will tune in to WrestleMania to laugh at it and to mock wrestling fans because we love this stuff, and then they'll go away, and then the ratings for Raw in like 3 or 4 weeks will be down 10%. That's the difference.
I couldn't have said it better.
Like, when you look at like Jackass asshole, like what he did to Sami Zayn was embarrassing as a wrestling fan, despite the fact of like all the fans in that stadium who paid a ton of money to see that shit live and cheered it.
Yeah.
It's different than Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny, I respect Bad Bunny because as a celebrity, he had enough respect for the business to properly train and make sure he didn't look bad doing what he was doing, unlike a lot of other celebrities. So I'm not saying that we're going to put Bad Bunny in the main event of WrestleMania against Roman Reigns, but I do respect Bad Bunny to respect the business enough to make sure you train enough to not only embarrass yourself, but in my opinion, he was not the worst wrestler in that match. I thought he did better than Damian Priest in that match.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
I feel like Miz's partner, where the hell, Logan Paul, I thought Dominic Mysterio was the worst person in that match that involved a celebrity.
Logan Paul was believable, though. I actually thought that was my favorite celebrity wrestling in the match where I go, all right, I can run with this.
Dominic is a professional wrestler. I'm going to need you to, like, put the commitment in that Bad Bunny and Logan Paul is putting in because – Dominic is not as good as some celebrities.
Yeah,
when you make a point like that, I have to agree. Yeah, I take it back.
All right. Well, now we have come to the time that I know all of you have been looking for.
Oh, dear God. Here we go.
Oh, yeah. It is the bunny segment. It is basically the question.
Happy Easter.
And just to be clear,
yeah,
it's
happy
not
Easter,
the bad
buddy.
Bunny segment. It's just the bunny segment.
Okay.
Exactly.
Thanks
the
for the clarity.
The 5 reasons why the Cadbury Bunny is better than the AEW Bunny.
Easter tie is nice. Okay.
Oh, it's about to get ugly. Oh, God, help me. All right. Reason number 5, we're going to 5-1. And actually, I only could come up with 4 because the 5th one would have been, I'd have got, we'd have got the FCC involved and Yeah, it wouldn't have been too nice, and I'd had to go to court, and yeah. But number four reason, the Cadbury Bunny actually defeats hunger. The AEW
yeah.
Bunny loses to nausea, which is the truth. I can satisfy my stomach and be happy eating the Cadbury Bunny. I could smile all day long, skip to the loo, do everything. When I watch the bunny at AEW, it goes to nausea. I'm reaching for Pepto-Bismol. I don't understand how she could be a bunny and, I'm trying to keep it.
So you wouldn't eat the bunny?
We'll get to that in a second.
I thought it was an egg. Ain't it supposed to be a Cadbury egg?
No, Cadbury, they got bunnies too.
Oh, okay.
You didn't know that?
I almost choked on my spit, guys.
I've only seen the eggs. I didn't know they made bunnies too. My bad. I'm sitting there going, huh?
I'm still eating the bunny, though. Never mind.
Yeah, Cadbury got bunnies too, man. Y'all got to check that out. They're good.
What if you're diabetic? Then you got to go with the bunny.
I'm still getting the Cadbury Bunny because I'm going to die happy.
Oh.
Good Lord.
I thought I stumped you. Got a rebuttal for everything.
This is Easter and we're going to hell.
I'm already there.
Every time I
see the bunny on AEW television, I am in hell. So, next, number three. The Cadbury Bunny can be a face. It's cute and sweet. You want to cheer for it. You want to root it on. The AEW Bunny will always be a heel. She can't even be a heel, to tell you the truth, because she's terrible in the ring. I mean, how can you be a wrestler and you can't be a face or a heel? How can you do that? just saying. Number two reason. You'll get a kick out of this one. Number two reason. At least the Cadbury Bunny can work stiff. Just saying.
Oh, God.
I got tears in my eyes. This guy. I didn't know it was Def Comedy Jam today.
Oh, shit.
Oh, boy.
Am I lying, Rob?
I'm at a loss for words here. All I'm going to say is that I enjoy chocolate however it is enforced.
Yeah. I mean, the Cadbury Bunny can work stiff. Look at it. It's there. The only thing I see the AEW Bunny working is something that is stiff itself. We're going to leave that alone. Now, number one, at least I can sincerely and happily eat the Cadbury Bunny. We're just going to leave it at that. Ladies and gentlemen, that's my four reasons.
Whoa.
I just want to sit here and eat the bunny. I think I'll have a good time.
What?
My kids are listening to this show. Earmuffs.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk about that on the video, Graham. We're going to talk about that on the video, Graham.
We'll talk about eating the bunny later.
God.
How could you
can
do
we,
the formula?
Can we combine
say
both
that?
Bunnies?
No.
Oh.
You're ruining chocolate for bunny? The rest of the world.
Oh.
You will ruin chocolate for the rest of the world. No.
Let's combine both like an Oreo cookie. Let's combine both bunnies.
No. No.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh, heaven preserve us.
That commercial will be ORIE. Oh no, 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 no.
Oh God, you're dragging me down. I'm going with you guys.
Hey, I'm telling the truth, though. The Cadbury Bunny can't work stiff. I can tell you that.
God.
The memory.
We eat them both at the same time.
No.
Can we return to the clean world, please?
Oh,
you almost made me choke on my spit once. I don't want to have a heart attack here. Oh, my God.
He's giving me a heart attack with the visual.
Oh, good God in heaven.
Oh, God. The thing that brings me, and the thing that made me do this is because I know I've been pretty hard on the bunny. I know I have. I've been pretty hard on her, and deservedly so, because she's terrible. She shouldn't be in a ring. She shouldn't be around the I would probably give her a valet, but she shouldn't interfere in any matches. And actually, I don't even want to see her, so she couldn't even be a valet. But I'm going to surprise everyone. If you think I was hard on the bunny, wait till our next video that we're going to do for the program. There is someone that is here on the internet that is doing a video podcast like what we're going to start doing and things. That I'm going to give you physical examples, okay? I'm not just going to say something. I'm not just going to bring this out and just clown on her. I'm going to give you perfect examples of why I dislike this chick now worse than the bunny. The bunny has now moved up to number two.
Wow.
The bunny has now moved to number two.
Who's
going to
be worse than the bunny?
Number one. Oh, God, you will understand when I play the tape. No, I'm not giving no hints. Everybody got to tune in to see who this is.
Oh, this is some BS. I thought we were going to find out today.
Oh, no. The buddy got her thing today.
I ain't going to be able to go sleep tonight. I'm be wondering who you talking about. I'm about to scour the internet for this chick.
Let me tell you, Night Hall will help you get your Z's. I'm just telling you.
See, marketing strategy.
Right,
we were talking about that. That's marketing strategy.
Tune
in next week.
Since you're not sharing with us, let's move on to our top list. We only got 30 minutes left. Since you want to be a party pooper.
Yeah. Hey, no. We're going to have some fun with this. You think that was
let
bad.
Let the party begin. Yeah.
Yeah, because the evidence is there. And I don't think any one of you guys are going to disagree with me with what I got to say. Because what she – put it like this. What she says on her so-called program and who she's sponsored by shocks the hell out of me. But what she says on her program is not only an insult to AEW, but to wrestling fans as a whole.
So
and
that
I'm about to give
she
it to
is
her.
On the current roster? She's on the current AEW roster?
No, she's not a wrestler. She's a podcaster.
This ain't the Von Erich girl, is it?
No. Like I said, she's not a wrestler.
Okay.
Yeah. You guys probably haven't even heard of her. And I ran into her on accident.
Oh, wow.
And I want to wash my eyeballs with ammonia and bleach after seeing and hearing what she said. These are the type of fans that when we first started doing this podcast again that I was talking about. This takes it to a whole new level.
But we will find out about this next week, so tune in.
Yeah, because this is going to be a ride. You won't forget. Okay,
oh, wow.
So we're going to go to our segment, and this one is going to take a little bit of time, so let's get on this one.
Yeah.
I asked the guys, because whenever you watch wrestling, there's two things that actually attract you to a wrestler. It's their work in the ring. It's their work on the mic. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I ask everyone here to make a list. Five men, three women out of AEW and WWE who are tops and with their work in the ring and their work on the microphone. Rob, go first. Tony, go second. Chris, go third. Now go last.
Okay. So we're talking mic work and ring skills combined together one list of five and one list of three.
No, all. No, I just have a list.
Top five mic, top five ring, separate.
Yeah,
right.
I just
okay. Well, I did that too, so I've got all that covered.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, picks for AEW for mic skills. Number one, MJF. Number two, CM Punk. Number three, Chris Jericho. Number four, Bryan Danielson. And number five, Dan Lambert.
I have four out of those five.
Hmm.
I got four out of five.
Now the top five workers in AEW are number one, Bryan Danielson, number two, MJF, number three, Sammy Guevara, number four, CM Punk, and number five, Adam Page.
Ooh.
Okay.
I got one.
Now, the top three women for mic skills, Britt Baker, DMD, number two, Serena Deeb, and number three, surprisingly, Nyla Rose. Workers for women would be number one, Thunder Rosa, number two, Britt Baker, DMD, and number three, Serena Deeb.
Not all three of them in that order.
Okay. On the WWE side, Mike Work, number one, Paul Heyman, number two, Edge, number three, Miz, number four, Roman Reigns, and number five, AJ Styles.
Jesus Christ, you got me second guessing with the Miz.
There's reasons for that. On the worker side, you got AJ Styles, number one. Number two, Shinsuke Nakamura. Number three, Ricochet. Number four, Seth Rollins. And number five, Kofi Kingston. Mike work for the ladies is number one, Becky Lynch. You guys are probably going to hate me for that one. Number two, Charlotte Flair. And number three, Lacey Evans. For workers on the women's side, number one, Charlotte Flair, number two, Bianca Belair, and number three, Piper Niven, a.k.a. Dewdrop.
I can't even argue that. Me and you agree on top two. I can't argue number three, though. I can't argue that.
Did that suck, or was that close?
No, I'm just curious. I've never known AJ Styles for great mic. I think he's a veteran, and he can get his stuff out. But sometimes I'm like, he's like a rah-rah guy, like a pep rally dude to me. He comes out, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But I'm just saying that when I think of mic skills, I'm thinking entertainment. That's why I don't even like The Miz, but I almost put him on because I said Mike skills is why The Miz is still in his business.
Right.
You know,
that's why
Miz
I put him at number
am I right or wrong?
Skills, so
am I right or wrong?
Listen, Mike skills, but when Rob said it, I'm like, damn, I might have shafted him. Like Miz definitely deserved to be in top five. He's not in my top five, but he definitely deserved to be.
AJ is number five because you're right. He is he does a veteran rah-rah, here we go promo. But there's a place for that in wrestling, and especially as a babyface, and that's why I included him in there. And he's one of the best people that does that type of promo.
Yeah.
All right.
It's not a bad choice. There's no bad choices.
Tony, go ahead.
All right, AEW, number one, MJF. Nobody even argued that.
Right.
Number two, my number two is Dan Lambert. Dan Lambert is fire on the mic. When he got the mic in his hand, I'm tuned in. Number three, Chris Jericho. Number four, Eddie Kingston. And number five, CM Punk. For ring work, number one, Bryan Danielson. My number two going to surprise you guys, though, but I'm so happy he's there, and I'm so happy we can see his ring work. My number two is Keith Lee. My number three is CM Punk. Keith Lee is a phenomenal worker, and I'm happy that he's going to be more opened up. My number three
Good choice.
My number four is not going to be a popular choice. Actually, my number four and number five is going to be, I don't know how you all take it, but my number four is Adam Cole. I love, and I think it's more me personally, I love Adam Cole matches. I absolutely love them. Like, Adam Cole's wrestling, But my number five is a tag team. FTR.
You
Magic
took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah.
And Magic in the Ring.
Yeah, that's a good yes.
For my skills, for AEW women, number one, Britt Baker, DMD.
D.
Now, my number two, number three is for a lack of, like, captivating women in AEW. We'll throw that disclaimer out there. And a lot of people are not going to like my number two, but you can't tell me that this woman don't have your attention and she gets a reaction out of you. My number two is Vicky Guerrero.
There you go. Okay.
And my number three, Bobby's going to hate, but number three was Ty Conti. And I think Ty Conti is for like...
Oh, God! Oh! Sorry. Oh. Pepto-Bismol. All right, go ahead.
With a caveat, though, her and Sammy Guevara together on the mic actually works very well.
Yeah, that is...
Yeah, when it's Ty and Sammy together...
Oh, my God, Rob, you are in my head. That's why I picked her.
Okay, next.
Ring work winner. Britt Baker, number one. DMD. Number two for me is Ruby Soho for ring work. And my number three might be a little controversial, but from what I'm looking at the women's division, and before I mention my number three, my honorable mention is Chris Statlander, because I think Chris Statlander is a phenomenal wrestler.
Yes.
But my number three
is
Jade Cargill, because I think Jade has just advanced so much over the last year. She's so much better of a performer now than she was like a year ago. Just see the way that she's developed, I couldn't leave her off my list. My skills, WWE, men. Number one, Paul Heyman. Greatest mic guy ever, in my opinion. Number two, going to be a little controversial, but I love the head of the table on the mic, Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is in God mode on the mic. Number three, Kevin Owens. Number four, Seth freaking Rollins. And number five is going to might surprise the company, you guys, though, but you got to respect his mic skill. Montel Vontarious Porter, MVP. For ring work in WWE, my number one might shock all of you, but you can't disrespect his work in the ring. I don't give a rat's ass if it's singles, tag team, or whatever the hell this man is doing. Randy Orton is the best ring worker in the WWE. My number two ring worker is AJ Styles, which I'm sure nobody's going to argue. My number three is shock some of you. Because my number three ring worker in the WWE is L.A. Knight. Number four,
not bad. Not bad.
Yes.
Number four is Seth freaking Rollins. And my number five is Dolph Ziggler.
Huh? Okay, I'll leave that one.
Yeah.
We'll get that.
No, I agree. Hey, don't listen to him. I agree with you, brother. Keep going.
No, Dolph Ziggler is a phenomenal worker.
Absolutely.
Horseshit booking.
No, no, we'll wait
worker.
Till we get to mine. We're going to. I'll wait till I get to mine. Go ahead. Go ahead.
For WWE mic skills, honorable mention is Alexa Bliss. But
yes.
She didn't make my top three. Number one, Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair, oh my God, she's the son that Ric Flair never had. Well, had, but amount to what they should have been as boys. Charlotte Flair is that boy. Like, it's Charlotte Flair. Number two on the mic, Bianca Belair. And number three, it's a little biased here. Love how she looks. So no matter what she says, she could talk about nothing, and I'm going to enjoy the promo because I love looking at her, is Mandy freaking Rowe.
I don't know that.
For ring work, I'm going to go 3-1 on this one. And I wish Marcus was here for this because my number three worker in the women's division is super underrated, and it pains me how they book her, and it pains me that I'm book like, push her the way they need to be pushing her. But the third best worker in the WWE is Naomi. Number two is Bianca Belair. That woman is just super phenomenal. She's super talented. And my number one ring worker in the WWE is my favorite blonde, Mandy Rose.
Huh?
Okay, I'm joking. Charlotte Flair.
I thought he was going to say Lacey Evans. I was like, what?
Lacey Evans ain't bad, though. So I would have said, huh, on that one. But Mandy Rose? Nah.
If we did top five women, Lacey Evans might have made it because Lacey Evans is a phenomenal worker. Don't get me wrong. No disrespect to Lacey Evans. But the best worker in women wrestling, period, is Charlotte Flair.
Go.
Pretty
She's
much.
The goat, man.
Okay.
Rick Flair,
she's the
okay.
goat, bro.
Charlotte Flair is him
you,
with more.
You can pluck her down in any company, and she's the champ. And that's what you do. She's that big of a star. The confidence. She's already separated. We still know that's Ric Flair's daughter, but that's Charlotte freaking Flair.
No.
You know, she's the goat.
She had got to the point where, like, no, Ric Flair's her dad.
Yeah. That's what you said it right.
All
right. Is it my turn?
Chris, yes. Go ahead.
All right. I'm going to start with ring skills, WWE. I have Finn Balor as my number one worker, and I'm going to go down to five. Number two, I got Gunther. I just think this guy,
yeah.
You could put him in any era of wrestling, and his stuff's believable. He doesn't do what he's not supposed to do in the ring. He gets everything he does to me. I think this is a world champion in the making right there.
Yeah.
I got AJ Styles, number three. Randy Orton, number four. And I think Roman Reigns is on another level right now. I got him at number five. For Mike
now,
skills.
Now, before you go on with your list, I will admit,
Gunther
and Finn, your top two was definitely on my radar, though. So,
yes.
You know,
I just, you know... Finn Balor is something. Vince McMahon must not like this guy. He puts his reps. This guy is incredible. He can fight a Samoa Joe. That match against Brock Lesnar years ago to an AJ Styles. I mean, he puts you in a chokehold. That's a chokehold. He's not loose with it. You look and you're like, okay, I believe this. You know, the matches with Karrion Kross and Kyle O'Reilly. So.
No argument here. No argument.
Mike
right,
skills.
Next section.
I think. Go ahead.
No,
Mike
go ahead,
skills. I think
section.
we all agree. Heyman's number one. I got Reigns number two. Kevin Owens number three, and LA Knight.
Oh, love you.
Yeah, I just LA Knight. The guy. He's missing some too. He needs to be on the main roster. But
yes,
he was one of my favorite wrestlers that came over from Impact. I was always an Eli Drake fan, so.
That was
him.
Hold on. Let me interject real quick to let you know something. And you're going to be mad when I tell you this.
Go ahead, man.
LA Knight is on the main roster. He's been doing dark matches. Guess what they did with him?
What? Change his gimmick
again?
Guess
what they did with him?
What they did?
No.
I heard they made him a man. No, I saw something. They made him a manager, right?
Yes. He's a manager. He's not a
wrestler
anymore.
The same thing they wanted to do with Adam Cole.
Real matches? No. Yep.
Bro.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Why
out
of Mike Steele? So if he's going to be a manager, he's on my Mike Steele list.
But he's going. He's basically, you know how it's going to end. He's going to do. He's going to do the managerial stuff. So his contract is up, and he's going to go AEW and wrestle again.
Yeah.
Yep.
But that's once again.
Okay,
that's
go
the
ahead
guy
with the list because we
run
out of
Mike's
time.
Money. Okay. AEW ring work. Bryan Danielson.
What about the women?
I got. Oh, WWE. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
We got for ring work. I got Charlotte, Becky, and Rhea, in that order. For mic work.
Okay.
I got Charlotte number one. I got Bayley number two. I think people forgot how good Bayley was when she was, you know, wrestling.
I can't stand that bitch. I didn't forget her.
That's a woman that can get heat.
Ding dong dumb dick. I don't like that bitch.
You know, mother. And as for mic work also, I just think they got something with Bianca Belair. She's the ultimate baby face. She's on TV. I'm watching. Now down to AEW men's. So for ring work, I got Bryan Danielson. I got Pac. I got Kyle O'Reilly, Samoa Joe, and CM Punk. Any arguments?
Can't argue.
No.
Can't argue.
Kyle O'Reilly's a future something. I hope they figure that out,
he
too.
Is. He really is.
Yes. For mic work, top five in order, MJF, MJF, MJF. Him, CM Punk number two, MJF the next Roddy Piper, and he might be beyond Piper. This kid's amazing. I got CM Punk number two. I actually got Eddie Kingston and then Jericho, and Bryan Danielson number five.
Okay.
Now we go to in ring work. I switched up the mic work with it. Samoa Joe was my number five on in-ring work. So, mic work, MJF, CM Punk, Eddie Kingston, Jericho, Bryan Danielson. Women's mic work, Britt Baker. I got Vicky Guerrero. And I have Thunder Rosa because I've watched her for so many years. She just says what she's going to do, and then she goes out and does it. As for in-ring work, I got Thunder Rosa number one, Britt Baker number two, and Nyla Rose number three.
Okay.
Solid. Good list.
All right. I'm about to piss a lot of people off.
What else is new?
What else is new? You know what I'm saying? We're going to start with AEW first. AEW is going to be a little bit more simpler. We'll start off with AEW, mic work. My number one, of course, is MJF. Can't deny that. That dude is just top-notch. Mm-hmm. Number two is CM Punk. His promo is off the charts. Number three is Daniel Bryan. What he did as a heel for that short amount of time before he joined up with that club was just off the charts. I never expected that from Bryan. Bryan really surprised me on that one. Number four, Eddie Kingston. Love his mic work. I just love his stuff. And number five is Dan Lambert. Okay, ring work. Number one I have is CM Punk.
Real quick, though, before we leave mic work, though. One thing I would have to get Eddie Kingston on it, and the reason why he made my list, to be honest with you, the way he connects with the crowd is amazing.
Absolutely.
Yes. Now,
he talks
you guys
from like
look
a
at
part. It seems like it's coming from his heart.
Yes.
You guys are going to look at me crazy when I say this in-ring work list.
Okay.
Especially on one. On one of them. The other ones, you'll probably agree with one. You're going to be like, huh? My number one is CM Punk. I love his work. He can tell a story. Number two is Daniel Bryan. I love his brutality.
I love AEW Daniel Bryanson. I do.
But number three is somebody that's going to shock you.
Daniel Bryanson fan.
Right. But number three is going to shock you. And he is part of a tag team, but I put him as a single. Like I said on the program, this man should be AEW champion. This man should go ahead and they should do a storyline to where his tag team partner helps him, keeps him with that belt, but he really doesn't need the help. And that's Dax Harwood. I'm sorry. That match that he did with CM Punk and he does with others, and see, that's the key thing. You can have a great match with CM Punk because CM Punk is going to make you look like a damn diamond. But when you can
Absolutely.
Do it with other people on that roster, you are golden. Dax Harwood is a diamond in the rough that needs to
I'm
be
not
focused
disagree.
On more. Dax Harwood is
like,
my number three.
I'm not mad at that pick.
No,
I'm not either.
No, I can agree with that.
No, I
love me some Dax Harwood.
Them as a team, though, they are two of the best workers in the world, period.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I'm not denying that. And we were doing tag teams. But I also think Dex Harwood
as
an is
individual,
an excellent single
wrestler. I agree.
Number four, Keith Lee. We all know that. And number five is MJF. Yeah, I got him as five.
What's Keith Lee love that y'all keep giving? I just don't. I must not
that
see
dude,
it.
That dude is versatile.
No, he is.
I've seen him in.
But,
yeah, I've seen him in a lot of different matches. He's very versatile. So. But let's go on to the mic work because we're running out of time.
Go ahead.
We're running out of time. Right. Mic work for the women. Number one, Brick Breaker, DMD.
Yep.
Number two, y'all going to look at me like I'm crazy when I say this, but it's Jade Cargill.
I thought about her. Mm-hmm.
She just reminds me of that girl from the ghetto that's going to get what she's going to get, and she's going to tell you how she's going to get it, and then she's going to show you how she's going to get it. I love Jade.
Mm-hmm.
Love her. And number three is Thunder Rosa. In ring work, number one, Thunder Rosa. Number two, Dr. Britt Baker. And number three,
mm-hmm.
yeah, Nyla Rose. Nyla Rose is the beast. She's a
Absolutely.
Beast.
Absolutely.
Now, this is where it becomes tricky when we go to WWE. Oh, this one is where it's going to be interesting. I had to pick four.
Minutes.
In ring work, I had to pick four women because two of them tied for me. So we'll get to that in a second. Men's mic work. Number one, Paul Heyman.
Yep.
No doubt. Number two, Roman
mm-hmm.
Reigns. No doubt.
Yes.
Number three, Mike
yeah.
shock you. Pat McAfee. The Pretty Boy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He killed it.
And he's a fantastic commentator.
I slept
yes.
on him.
Yes.
Number four, The Miz. And number five, I thought I was going to be the only one to pick this dude, but it's L.A. Knight. I'm surprised y'all
yeah.
picked him. But I love L.A. Knight. That dude's awesome.
He stands
yeah.
out, brother.
Oh.
Now, this is where the mud starts to sling. Worst rate. Oh, 90 seconds. God dog it. Work rate for the men. Number one, Dolph Ziggler. Number two, Robert
okay.
Roode. Number three, AJ
yes.
Styles. Number four,
okay.
Shelton Benjamin. And number five,
nice.
Cody Rhodes. Mike worked for the women. Charlotte Flair, of course. Charlotte Flair for the mic work of the women. Number two, Becky Lynch. And number three, Bayley.
Yep.
They both can tell a story and make you interested in what's going on. But
right.
Work rate. Tied for number three, Rhea Ripley and Doudrop. Sorry.
Okay.
Love them both.
Okay.
Can't decide.
Yep.
Number
okay.
two is Charlotte Flair.
What? Two?
Because before there was a Charlotte, there was another top dog that taught all them women what they need to know. She's from
Sasha
the Hart family dungeon, and people keep forgetting
oh,
about
Natalya.
It. It's Natalya.
Natalya.
That's my
wow.
number one. So, guys, we're about to sign off. We went a little long, but, hey, it's good. I am the mastermind, Bob Rogers. Thank you, Chris, for coming on. We'll have you on again.
Thanks, guys.
That was awesome.
Thanks.
Cody Motown Allen, Robert Black, everybody, happy Easter. Deal with the
happy
stiff
Easter.
Bunny. Don't deal with
happy
that.
Oh. Put the two bunnies together.
We will definitely.
Put the two bunnies together.
No, no, no. Don't ever do that again. No. We will see you in the future.
You know it's all about the power!